It is still the Weekend Chapter right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. So we are getting in that part of the show where you and I get to, you know, engage a medical expert. That is our resident medical expert, Dr. Charles Leser. The man is always here to give us some insights as far as health matters are concerned. As you all know, the man is a lifestyle medicine specialist, and he talks about, the lifestyle side of medicine the most. Okay, and tonight he's got a very, very, very interesting topic, which is why you and I should not be busy for God, should not be too busy for the Lord. Why is it that being too busy for the Lord affects even our health? Well, the man has got all the answers for us. So let me take this opportunity to welcome the man to the show, Dr. Leser. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for yet another program to discuss important matters as far as health is concerned.
Right, Doc. So today's topic, why it is dangerous for one to be too busy for God. So I'm thinking, how does, you know, the question that's actually popping on my mind is, how does one that affect our spiritual well-being, and then two, how does that even go on to affect our physical well-being health-wise? How does that affect us? And then maybe before we even jump into that, first of all, I guess you need to explain to us, so how does one become too busy for God? I think if you can just highlight that part and then go on to answer the next part of the question.
Okay, so we were created by God and we belong to Him, first because He created us. Secondly, because after He created us, the entrance of sin separated us from God. Then He came to redeem us. So we belong to God twice. That is by creation and through redeeming. And as a result of that, we should find time to spend with God. Just like how people who have got friends, they love, they spend time with them. So if God created us, within us, we have got this yearning for God to be in His presence. And if we don't find time to do that, we end up being so distant from our Creator. In actual essence, we learn about the principles of tithing when it comes to money, and also offerings when it comes to free will offering, as far as that which God has given us that pertains to this world. But I believe also that God requires us of a tithe of our time, should I say, maybe a 10% of our 24 hours a day, that we can think and spend that particular time with God. So we worship God through our mind. We worship God through our brains and through our nervous system, the senses that we have of touch, of taste, of smell, of being able to talk, being able to see. All these are senses God has given us to be able to communicate with Him, communicate with one another. So if these avenues of communication with God are overworked, we get to a point where we become too busy for God, thus not being able to spend quality time with God. For example, if we have got the need to spend time with God, one way to do that is through having morning devotion. It can be through having the evening devotion, that is time to go through the Bible or through a devotional. And also during the day, we should continually and constantly be connected with God, such that when we are faced with decision making, we are able to tap into the wisdom of God. At times, the things of this world, the worry, the accumulation of wealth, the accumulation of resources, work and responsibilities, sometimes there's a competition, they compete with quality time that we should spend with God. So if one has got the ability to see and they're able to read a devotional, to read a Bible, or they cannot see, maybe they use Braille, or they can listen using the sense of hearing to be able to communicate with God. If these senses are worn out and they are overused because one has not been finding time to rest. They're not in a position to be able to read using their eyesight. They're in a position to listen using their ears because they are now suffering from burnout, or should I say fatigue, where now their eyes are automatically probably closing and they are sleeping the greater part of the day, and they are not in a position to actively engage God as far as communication, as far as worship is concerned. So these are some of the ways that can lead someone to be too busy for God.
Okay, so that's very, very interesting, right? They're getting to understand how, you know, it affects our spiritual lives. So however, like I asked earlier, how then does this same thing of being too busy for God gets to affect our physical well-being, our very, very, very health? How exactly does that happen, if you can explain?
Okay, so our physical well-being, that is the poverty of physical endurance, the vitality to be able to do the things that we need to do. If we take God out of the picture, we become like a car that is going downhill without brakes. So what that means is that without rest, catabolism, which is breaking down, catabolism is a metabolic process where the food we have eaten and the air we have breathed in, and etc., the water that we have drank, they get broken down into those minute micro elements that are needed by the body. So that breaking down can override anabolism, which is the building up that results from the food that we have, would have eaten, or the activities we've been involved in, such as taking in beverages, such as breathing in oxygen. So when there's not that balance, because the output which we are using, say, for example, the glucose that we need, we are using more than what we are putting in. In this case, maybe this person does not have adequate time to be able to have time to sit down and eat. People just wake up in the morning, they are on the rush, on the go to work or to school or to some appointments. They don't take care of their body. There's no self-care. So as far as the nutrients that are needed to maintain the nervous system, to maintain the brain, such as the good different types of fats that are there, as well as the different types of vitamins that are needed, even the water that is needed, some don't find time to be able to do that. They're too busy to think about the things God has put in nature that we can make use of for maintenance of the human body. So as a result of that, the body can begin to break down. And by breaking down here, what I'm referring to is where one just feels tired. They become emotionally drained, they become exhausted, and they feel like there's an overload. Everything seems to be against them, and they are not able to cope. They are not able to do what they need to do. So burnout is a state of complete mental, physical, and emotional exhaustion. Just like how most of us in this 21st century, we have got smartphones that when the smartphone is showing that the battery is low, we want to connect it to the source of power that it may be re-energized and be revived so that we can make use of it. And for maintenance of the battery, most people, what they do, they try by all means to allow the phone to charge up to 100% and then start using it. But in most cases, what we are doing with our body is different. We are not plugging into the source that's supposed to give us the energy that we need, the nutrients that we need. We are also not connecting to the source who gives us those abilities to be able to use the elements that God has given us that will be able to sustain our energies. So as a result of that, there's burnout, there is fatigue, and there is exhaustion. And in all this, people lose appetite, and ultimately they lose interest in life, interest in doing physical activities that enables them to become better people as far as their health is concerned, as well as lack of interest in spiritual things.
Well, I guess that's a very, very sad thing right there, Doc. If we find individuals lacking interest in what in life itself, or in spiritual things, so to say. That's sad. That's very, very sad. So I guess maybe let's get into the Bible a bit and find out, how does the issue of, in fact, what does the Bible say about this issue of being too busy?
Okay, so when we look at the Bible, we find that Jesus Christ himself, at some point, when he was with the disciples, after a busy day with them, many people are coming into the presence of Jesus, into the presence of the disciples. They are busy assisting the people where they should, and Christ is healing, virtue is coming out of him. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus says unto the disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." So here we find God bringing a balance, even as far as doing that which is good. Temperance in all things, inasmuch as people were coming, there was a need to find time that the disciples eat, that they give the human body the energy that it needs to be able to continue functioning. At the same time, recuperate, and spend time now with Jesus himself, and not being so much concerned about the people that are coming to Jesus, because at the end of the day, the disciples themselves may fail in having quality time with Jesus. So he invites them to come apart, that is to say, move away from where we are now. Let's go to a different part that is from here, into a desert place, a place that is serene, that is peaceful, where there's not much activity. And once we are there, rest a while. So this is very key and important to our lives. God has given us in the book of Genesis, beginning chapter 1 and 2, we find that God created the 7 days in a week. And God says, 6 days thou shalt labor in the book of Exodus. 6 days thou shalt labor, but the seventh day, that particular day, put it aside. Spend quality time with me. Also dwell upon the word. Pray, talk to me, and revive your body for the new week that is coming. So as far as rest is concerned, God invites us to take 1 day out of the 7 days for rest. And when we also look in another book, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus, when he looks at the people, he realizes that they are carrying so many burdens, burdens that are physical in nature, burdens that are spiritual in nature, burdens that are mental and emotional. And he says to them, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So when we look at the yoke that Christ was carrying, he says, "I have come to do the will of my Father." And he consults God in everything that he was doing. So he was inviting people here to realize that if we carry all of our burdens, if we carry all the baggage and the challenges of this world, they will crush us. But if we take them to Jesus, the burden becomes light, and we begin to realize that by ourselves, we cannot do this. We need a higher power. And that is the yoke that he takes, is the yoke that he gives everything to God. So God then carries the burdens for us. I remember there's a very common scenario that has been shared over so many years ago, where an adult is walking on the seashore, and as they are walking on the sand, they are seeing two sets of footprints, that is their footprint and the footprint of God, and they are walking together, and this person is happy that God is walking with them on the seashore. And then you get to a point where the person only sees one footprint, and the person begins to think that God has left them. And they're now inquiring, "But God, why is there only one footprint? Why are you not walking with me?" And God says, "I realize that now you are tired. You are not in a position to be able to go forward. So I carried you. The footprints that you are seeing on the seashore actually are my footprints when I was carrying you." So it's very important to realize that God desires to help to lighten the burden of this world that we have, to take us through, not just by ourselves, but Him taking us through. And we need to cooperate with Him because we have got a role that we should play. Here, when He says, come and rest yourselves apart, it means that we are supposed to heed, to go to where we are being invited. And that's a choice that we can make. And some people don't make that choice. And as a result of that, at the end of the day, the body can break down. I think in one of the countries in Europe at some point, they thought of making a 10-day week instead of a 7-day week because they wanted to increase production and to be able to have a high income generation. They ended up stopping it because workers began to make a lot of accidents, a lot of emergencies. They were failing to cope and to manage, which is a clear indication that God would want us to rest, that we may recharge and be revived.
So I guess what you've just said right there highlights, you know, the whole topic of, you know, how much it is a danger to be what, to be too busy for God. And you know, in pretty much any relationship, dog, I guess, whether it is it you know, at a professional or even romantic, if you do not take time to be with your partner, then I guess maybe your romantic relationship can crumble, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely does.
Okay, so from what I'm getting here, it's an issue, dog, of getting a healthy work-life balance. So how does one really get a healthy work-life balance? Because a lot of people these days are struggling with that. So what could be the practical steps that one might take in order for them to have this very much needed healthy work-life balance?
Okay, so one of the steps that one can take is the step for one to be smart. You know, most people, when they want to have a project proposal that is going to be successful as far as what they want to achieve is concerned, we find that use this acronym SMART, and we can still apply that same acronym to setting up goals that can help us to be able to achieve the rest that we need and to spend time with God. So what I would say is that one needs to be specific. That is the S on the SMART, to be specific. The M is for it has to be measurable. The A, it has to be attainable. The R, it has to be realistic. The T, it has to be time bound. So by being specific, one then needs to say, as far as rest is concerned, this is specifically what I'm going to do. Like what the book of Job says, thou shalt come but no further, in reference to the sea. That when the Lord created the sea and the waves, one have been to the sea, you can see the waves maybe rising as high as maybe a one-story or two-story building. But when it gets to the seashore, it just comes down to rest. So then one needs to be specific that I am going to do my work from this time to that time. Outside of that time, I am not available for work. So it's godly to indicate that I am not available at this particular time, such that we don't overload ourselves. God has not called us to be available all the time to everyone and for everything. We should be able to be people that are disciplined, that can set boundaries to say, for this specific time, I'm going to be doing work. And then for that time, which is outside that time, I'm going to spend maybe 10 minutes on the Bible with God. I'm going to spend a minute singing a hymn. I'm going to spend maybe a minute or so praying, that is talking to God. And it has to be measurable. So the measurable aspect is where one keeps a journal. And they say, out of 30 days, how many days in 30 days did I manage to spend the 1 minute in singing, the 2 minutes in doing, talking to God in prayer? And as far as my workload is concerned, where I was supposed to spend maybe 6 hours, because 1 hour is for breakfast, 1 hour is for lunch in most places, and then maybe 30 minutes is for breakfast. If those principles are not there on the timetable that are measurable, it can be challenging where someone spills over into their lunchtime, spills over into their breakfast time, and you find people on their way when they're driving, they're on their phone, on a business meeting or something. And it has also to be attainable. Yeah, according to one's ability, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to have spent 1 hour for lunch? If it's not realistic, maybe let me say 45 minutes. So it has to be attainable. So one looks at their capacity and their ability. Do I have a Bible now? No, I don't have. So probably if I want to spend the 10 minutes using the Bible, it's not attainable. So to help it to be attainable, I'm going to buy a Bible, or I'm going to install a Bible application on my phone. It also has to be realistic. There are some people that then get on the other extreme that we should always spend time with God. And they may think that means that every time of the 8 hours when we are awake, we should be holding a Bible and glued on and looking on the scriptures. What about time for bathing? What about time for eating? You cannot go into the bathroom holding a Bible. What about driving? You cannot be driving while it's holding a Bible in your hands. But it has to be realistic. So it has to be reasonable. And it has to be within the reasonable capacity of the functioning of the human being. Yeah, some people can play the audio on their phone, on their radio, in their car as they're going, etc. But it has to be realistic. It also has to be time bound. So it has to have a deadline. There's a time when I'm going to do an introspection and I'm going to look at what I have managed to achieve and where there's need of adjustments, I'm going to do that. Where I had failed in the past, I'm going to improve. So some people, sometimes they get to a point where they think that because they failed to stick to their timetable, so therefore they have failed. That's not the case. When one realizes that they have failed, it's actually an indication that there's room for improvement because of the failure. Or because of the mistake, there's room to make it better next time because you identify where you fell or where you failed, and therefore you improve on that particular area. So I would say that when it comes to spending quality time with God, physical rest, it has to be smart. It has to be specific. It has to be measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. These are some of the things that one can use as far as steps is concerned.
Smart. Okay, now that's pretty smart right there, and hopefully that we're all getting this, and we're getting the much needed benefits out of what Dr. Charles Laser is saying. So in case you're wondering what's happening, well, I am talking to a lifestyle medicine specialist, that is Dr. Charles Laser, and he's giving us some insight tonight on why it is dangerous for you to be too busy for God. So he's just been telling us some practical steps that we can take in order to to have a healthy work-life balance. So Doc, I guess my next question will have to be, what are the benefits then if I implement these steps? What is it that I'm going to get out of this? What are the benefits that you can name right now that we get from actually having a very healthy work-life balance?
Okay, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, that's where I want to begin, verse 12, it says here, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. So we can see a balance here. During the daytime, the man was laboring. He was working, using the muscles in activity. It could be digging in the garden. It could be working, building. It could have been maybe walking, for some that their work involves walking. Or it could have been a mental exertion for someone who's an accountant, or maybe someone who works in an office who was laboring. And it says here that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. So if anything, when we find time to rest at night because we have been active during the day, it makes that particular sleep to be very sweet. And it helps us on the following day to be able to continue laboring without exhaustion of our nerves. Rest helps to relax, it helps to restore, and it perpetuates life. And I think most of us are aware that if one has got a generator or a pump, it also needs times to be resting, and that prolongs its period of time of use. So it also translates to longevity, probably how long we are going to live here on, as the Bible says, 70, 70 years. But beyond 70 years, 10 years plus, maybe up to 80, it may come with some challenges in life. But God wants us at least to reach 70. And when we have got rest, it helps us to grow into old age gracefully, just like children. Children will need more time to rest, unlike adults who may need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Children may need even up to 10 to 12, 13 hours of sleep a night, depending on their age group. And that helps the child to grow. So the cells of a baby that is still growing 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 8 years, etc., they grow further and more into adulthood when they are sleeping, when they are resting. Also, resting invigorates and recharges a weak body. So sometimes we find that when someone does not have this conscience to say, I should find time to rest, the body tries to save itself from self-destruction. So sometimes it can bring symptoms that will cause someone to just go to bed. And when they find themselves like this, that during that period of time is a time for invigoration. It also helps to eliminate stress, and it boosts the immune system. It also renders the digestion of food to be more perfect, and it also helps with appetite. So we find that these are some of the benefits that one can get as far as rest is concerned. It also actually helps someone to be able to reflect over their life, to do an introspection and see areas where they need to improve. And it can also help to declutter one's life, because during that particular time, which may not be just necessarily sleep, but maybe just say, today I'm resting, I'm not going to work. There are some people that have got the habit of, instead of taking off time which they are allocated per year at work, which might be maybe a month or 30 days or 90 days, depending on the type of job. Instead of taking those days, they want to convert those days into money, and so that they keep on working. They may get that which they desired, which is in this case financial ability, but at the expense of the ability to rejuvenate, recharge, to be able to have mental clarity, and being able to even deliver more as far as work is concerned, and ultimately reduce the risk of disease, especially major depression, as well as stress and burnout, which can result from lack of adequate rest, including sleep.
So I guess this is something that can be very beneficial to you as an individual, to me as an individual. You know, if we really get adequate rest, you know, and sitting time apart from our work, and it gets you to really fire from all cylinders, so to say. So if you really want to increase that productivity, also increase your time of rest. That's very critical right there. So Doc, in case you know we have somebody listening in right now who's a bit anxious, they don't really know how to go about it, you know, to really you know, they don't know where to start really as far as this topic that we're discussing is concerned. So what could be your words of advice to somebody like that who just pretty much don't know where to start? You know, I feel like I really want to take time for the Lord, take time to rest and things like that, but I don't know where to start.
For such an individual, there's hope. The person can start where they are. They don't have to be able to be, you know, the echelon of rest, but they can start where they are. If it means for you, you are going to let go of your phone just for an hour a day, then begin there. If it means that for you, it's a matter of finding time to exercise during the day for 30 minutes, so that that physical exertion that you go through assists you to be able to rest at night, then just do that. Begin there. And you don't have to compare yourself with the next person, because as our faces differ, so our abilities and our needs differ. Each person has got certain abilities which the next person does not have. And we should also be people that are content with the level of resources and abilities that we have at a certain given period of time, while it's accumulating slowly but surely, and not overdoing and overexertion. Because we know here that when Rome was being built, it was not built in one day. I always say this. Every day when one would go to the site, a brick was put on each line until Rome was complete. So one day at a time, dear sweet Jesus, as we are praying, God will give you strength, will give you ability. Pray about it. And be open to God that I'm failing to find time to rest. I need you to help me. And God does not turn away such kind of a prayer. Also, talk to a friend, a colleague, to say, I am planning to begin to rest. Can you please help me such that you remind me if you see that I am going off track? Maybe buy a smart watch that has got an alarm, and you set your alarm just to help you through if you to start this process. For a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. I'm reminded of Ahimaaz when they were coming from the war between David and Solomon, and he did not have news, but he outran himself. To the point that when he got to where he's supposed to give news, he could not give any news because he was not sent. So some of us, we go on errands that God has not sent us. We go on errands which are not our errands. Even at work, sometimes we have got a job description, but we try to, you know, to please our bosses and try to depict ourselves to be this super person whom we are not. And as a result of that, we get to a point where we cut short our period of usefulness in that particular work. We may retire early in life, and we may actually at the end of the day probably end up breaking down and not being able to continue with the service, as what happened to Ahimaaz. So we should be people that are aware of our abilities and not try to overdo or please people around us, and realize that your life is not centralized around people around you, but what God thinks about you and what he expects out of you. That's what is key. And then like that, we are people that are in charge of our lives.
Indeed, a journey of 1,000 miles does start with what? With just a single step. So, you know, we need to take it one step at a time. You know, don't try to do everything at once, I guess. Nice and easy. We will get there and we'll attain this much needed health, and set aside time to be with our maker, set aside time, you know, to rest from our labors. So which leaves me, doctor, thank you so much for this very, very interesting topic. So to close off, I guess what you can do is to, you know, lead us into a word of prayer.
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for creating the human body with the ability to be able to exert, to be able to do activities that we need to do to sustain life, like going to work, etc. But you also invite us to come and rest a little while. Help us to be able to be willing to cooperate with you. I know during this session you were talking to someone. May you help them to be able to begin their journey of rest. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And that was Dr. Charles Laser right there. The man he's been talking about the dangers of being too busy for God. Of course, he is a lifestyle medicine specialist and is always, you know, giving us some tidbits as far as a healthy lifestyle is concerned. So, which leads me to thank the man for coming through to the program. So, Dr. Charles Laser, thank you so much for coming through to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you as well for providing the platform for sharing these beautiful truths.
All right, so it is still the weekend chapter right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.